Welcome to the Upstate Carolina Linux Users Group, those of you that are new, and even those of you that are old. So, good to have everybody here tonight. Got a nice big crowd. Alright, so I'm starting out with Bash shell scripting for newbies. I'm going to continue from where I left off. As everyone remembers where we are. I've got some handouts too. Since this is a newbie session, if anyone doesn't understand anything, yes, sir. Okay, well, there's certain things that I can't help. But if anyone has any questions about anything, feel free to to say something.
What's a newbie?
A newbie is a... It's
Star Wars.
Yeah, it's a newbie in... Anyway. All right, so somewhere in here... I don't know if those of you that weren't here and those of you that were, last time I was, this little program that I had written in Shell to do a newsprint like output. So you have a file and it, it prints it out, but I said, well, hey, let's have it in two columns. And kind of useless, but nevertheless, I threw it together. Just to show everybody what this does again, I'll type newsprint and hamlet 3.1. And it asks me what is the number of columns on the screen. It's not, but I'll say 80. Number of lines on the screen, we'll say that it's 30. And there we go. So the let me show you Hamlet by itself. So you see how it's just, to be or not to be, that is the question, blah, 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 blah. And it goes out to about this far. Right? The copy that I've got is a verse, the way it would be in Shakespeare's play. But whenever I run that, give it as an argument to this little program that I wrote, and ask me a number of columns, which is 80, a number of lines, 30, and now it's in sort of a newsprint sort of thing. It shortened it up over on this side. Put so you read down here to the undiscovered country from whose, and then you start back up in the next column, right? Yeah, it's fascinating, I know. But all right, so how did I do that? And we were looking at the file. We had gotten somewhere to around. Right about here, debug. If you remember up at the top, I had set debug to true. And I set the dollar sign debug, ampersand, echo, colon equals width. Debug is set to true. True is a program that returns zero errors. So with the double ampersand, which is a logical and, this thing will test if this is true. And if it is true, then it will execute the second part. To see history time. In our case, this debug is set to true. True returns true. So we'll echo the comment. So what this is doing is it's putting some debug output to the screen for me to show it. Give me some output. Some debug output. Now if I set debug up at the top to false, the false program returns 1 as its return value, which is correctly. Which is the correct value to be incorrect. That doesn't make sense. 1 as a return value means error. So it correctly returns an error, right? False should be false, right? So, okay. So if this were to execute and I'd set true debug to be false at the top, this would execute short circuit, ampersand, so it wouldn't even bother with the rest of it. Okay? That's the way the double ampersand works. All right, now here we've got the format command, FMT. I said the thing that I had asked me earlier, or that I typed in, which was 80 in this particular case. The file name that I had put in earlier, And it redirects that to a file called the same file name, .cmp. But if you look here, so what it'll do is it will create a file called hamlet.temp, right? I'm deleting it later on. Any questions so far? Am I following? It's hard to follow when you weren't here for the top half. But anyway, so here's some different ways I did it. Tried to find out what the number of lines of that original file is. The last one I decided upon was word count with the dash L for lines, WC, word count, dash L for lines, and redirect the file.temp into word count, which should return the number of lines in hamlet.temp. The format has changed it to be from this wide to 80 columns. So it just kind of chopped it and wrapped it. Didn't wrap it, because that would chop off a word. It wraps it nicely to word boundaries and pulls up the later line. Okay? So that it looks nicer. Word count. Now I've got a variable called lines file that has a word count of 8. Or whatever the new number of lines is in hamlet.txt. Best to follow so far? Too fast? Too slow? Okay. Kind of debug the file. Hamlet.temp has the number of lines. And we'll say fs splitting into temp number. And our pound sign just to indicate that at this point in the program I'm going to be splitting. So if whenever I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with my program, say splitting the temp, okay, so from this point forward that I'm doing the split operation. So split is new. Whereas before, you could use head and give it number of lines that you put in, like I typed in 30 lines, and set that to a temp, redirect that to temp 00 files, like that. And then consequently, you do the next number of lines, the 2 times lines, which would be 60. So from the 60 lines and, okay, so this, all right, so 10:00 gets the first 30 lines, right? Then we do it for the first 60 lines, pipe that into tail of 30, so it does the second 30 lines. Everybody follow me there? So head, we'll do 60. We do the tail, 60. Or 30, right? So that's the next 30 lines. Everybody follow on that? Okay. And then we redirect that into temp 1. Okay, 01. That's one way of doing it. Alternatively, we can use this program called split. And what split does is it splits the file into same length other files. I did the dash D, which I think stood for decimal or something like that. So split dash DL. L requires a lines parameter, so I'm telling it 30 lines, or lines line, L lines. The file name that you're going to split, and what you want the file name to start with, the prefix. So in this case, what split's going to do is it will split hamlet3.1.temp into 30-line files starting with temp and do decimals after that. In other words, we'll get a file called temp00 with the first 30 lines, temp01 with the second 30 lines, temp02, 03, 04, 05, follow along with this, right? If you don't give it the D option, the default is to do AA, AB, AC, AD, AE, F, AF, blah, blah, blah. That's, I don't like that, but yeah, whatever. So, then we got the debug out for the pasting together. We used the paste program, which I talked about 3 months ago perhaps. Paste, as you remember, takes the first line of the first argument file, the first line of the second argument file, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, whatever, And then you standard in that you type into it and puts all of those first lines onto one line. It takes the second line of each one of them, puts it on the second line. So you've got this huge long file or output standard out that has the combination of all these files. Okay, does that make sense? So basically what this is doing with the combination of formatting the file, shrinking it down to where it looks nice, then we split it into equal length files, then we paste those files together. It takes this one and puts it up here, and there you go. That's the newsprint-like output. Just going to remove the files for good measure. And there you go. That's the little newsprint program.
Yeah, okay. That's great.
Wonderful, Jason. Any questions on what I've done?
Besides the question, why?
No? Okay. All right, so I was trying to think of what else we haven't covered. One thing that I use almost on a constantly daily basis is the for loop. And I use this mostly from the command line, but you can also put it in shell scripts. So I wrote, actually I just piped out I took my command line history and grepped for four and then piped it into a file and split up that file into different ones. So I'm going to show you, and these are what's on the handouts that we've got today. For font. So here's a little for. Now, the format of for, or the way you do a for loop in the shell, is you do for some variable in and then a list of stuff. The word do, and you do your whatever you want to loop through, and then done. Your block is between the do and the done, and the for is what it increments through. So whiteboard. This is a whiteboard, Jason. I've got a variable that I'm creating called V, and I've got a list here of some sort. It's going to put the first item into V, and then use V in here somewhere. It's going to go back. It's going to go to the second item, set that into V, blah, 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 the third item, fourth, until it runs out. So, what I had done 1 week before any of y'all had gotten here was I was trying to figure out what would look the nicest on the projector here to do this class. And so I wrote this little thing at the command line for I in, and I always use I because I is my incrementer. Incrementer? Is that the right word? Okay, so for I in, and then I've got this path for the star. So the list of items that I'm going to have is everything that's in this folder. The star indicates it's a glob. It means all files in this directory. Then I do a do. Then I do an echo, just so that I can have know what's going on. Just space it out. Then do a set font command to whatever that gives me, and then sleep for 1 second. So if I run this program, which I haven't, we'll all see if this works right. Cat doesn't do it. Okay. So you see it's going through the... Now you notice how the fonts are changing. Set font on the console changes the fonts to what's in this directory. So I just did this the other day just to see what would be best to look for everyone to look at. I think I settled upon one and I just abandoned it later on. And I want to make sure I set it to one that we can read later on. Good enough. So I was 4 5.
I figured this thing was going to work.
Yeah, so Symfon only works on the console, though, so it won't work in your exit term. Anyway. Alright, so then there's four performance tests. So we had had discussions early on. What's the difference between the test program and the test built-in? What's the difference between the Echo built-in and the Echo program? Those sort of questions. So if you want to do some sort of little performance test, I wrote this little program called the four performance tests because I actually used this the other day. I wanted to see which would be faster. For me, it was the difference between CMP, compare, and diff, which would be faster. Obviously, CMP is faster. So I did three loops right here for I and 1, 2, 3. I just wrote it up, 1, 2, 3. So I was going to get one, and then it's going to get two, and then it's going to get three. I don't do anything with the I in here, you see, but I know how many loops there is. I do the time command, which will show on the screen the user, system, and other time. I can't remember what that other time is. And then I do a loop right here. And what I'm doing is I'm timing the four of 1,000 seq. Okay, so here's a new program called Seq, S-E-Q, which does a sequence. It'll print to the screen, it'll print a sequence of numbers. In this case, if you give it just one argument, it's going to be 1 to that number. You can also give a sequence a starting number and a increment number. So if I wanted to do all the odd numbers, all the divisible by threes of between 50 and 2,000 or something like that, the sequence will do that. You don't have to look at the man page to see it specifically. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a dollar sign paren of seq 1,000. Seq 1,000. And it's going to, it's a list of from 0 to 1,000. Puts it in J. And then I'm going to do a dollar sign at. Now what the dollar sign at does is it gives all the arguments to the program that you gave it. So argument 1, argument 2, argument 3, argument 4, blah, 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 blah. Of whatever you give to this program, right? So if I do a four performance test of echo, hello? No, let's not do that. Yeah. No. So, okay, so we do that. Yeah, so that was kind of dumb. I don't want to echo to the screen. Let's give it, what's another command? Test our, true.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I have to test true. He's my arch. I'm not listening to him. Okay.
You don't install it.
Okay, so this is going to be the built-in test. True is obviously going to return true. So I did three times because it's going to be different. So you want to have like a good sample. So we see here the real user and system, real user and system. Okay, so this, and that's how fast this one runs. So let me do the same thing with a slash min slash test. Is it faster or slower? I'm not sure.
Whoa,
that's not right.
Slower.
Slow and fire bomb.
Shut up.
Pretty fast.
Yeah, for some reason,
it is very user friendly.
Shut up. It needs work.
We can tweak the C flag. So.
Oh, no, look at that. 2 seconds apiece versus the built in, which is not even a tenth of a second. So obviously, the built in test is faster than the program test, but we all can figure that out, right? Okay, so that's performance test. Anybody have any questions? Do we have anyone who is new to shell programming tonight? Okay. Are you following along? You understand everything I've said so far?
Well, I'm not familiar with every single utility using a format display.
Okay.
I
Yeah, question?
I don't understand much what you said about what you did on the screen.
But it looked real pretty.
And it worked.
Hey, wow. Okay.
Everything works.
Come on.
High praise. Okay. Do you have any question on those then? I mean, this is a newbie session. They may have heard it, but you haven't. So.
That was the work. It's deep.
These only mostly work, sir. All right.
Yeah, you had shown us the other one.
Yeah, I have. That's right. Okay.
That's your homework assignment.
All right, so let me arch, cat out four recap. Last month, my arch, Eric, put up on here a Perl script to rename a bunch of files, right? Well, I use for to do the same thing. And so what I do here is for I in star pp, so all my CPP files, C++ files, I do a move of that file to the same file name without the pp. Okay? And then I'm done. Okay? So if I I'm going to just create a bunch of files.
So in that syntax, the slash removes the pattern after it.
Yeah. Let me go into that in just a second. Let me create a bunch of files real quick.
Did you ask your question?
I did. But not while I'm typing, Ken. Okay, so I just created a bunch of files. 1pp, 2pp, 10pp, 11pp. All right, you see what I'm doing. All right? So I even use it to create a bunch of bogus files. So I got a loop here, sequence 20, I, touch, I, pp. Right? All right, so what was the first question?
Yeah, what's inside the curly brace? It's a dollar, curly, I slash.
I said dollar sign, curly brace, I.
No. Three lines up.
Three lines up here.
I with the slash.
Yes, okay. That's a fascism. And so let's say I want to create a variable called clever, because I can't think of any clever name. Clever equals, hello. Well, or even hello.
What do you do?
Hello. Okay. So if I echo dollar sign clever, it echoes hello, right? That's pretty standard. Now, if I and the same with the braces, and actually, good practice says you want to have the braces because that way you can delineate it between another variable called cleverer or cleverish or clever something, right?
Cleverish.
All right. So if I use the slash, what you can do then is you can search and replace what the slash does. The same way that regular expressions, the set test program does. So if I do search for H, replace it with capital H. Then, yeah, see, that didn't work. You don't want
the last slash.
You don't want the last slash. So I replace it. I replace the lowercase h with a capital H. Search and replace. Made it capital H. But it didn't change it.
So when you didn't have that section slash or anything behind it from the previous one, it just said replace it.
Yeah, if you don't have anything after, if you don't have the second slash, it's just going to drop it. It's going to drop whatever you say right here. So what I've got right here is I take off the second slash and it just has Ella. If I do a...
So question. If you said replace L-O with L-P, well, let's say L-L-O with L-P, would you change to L?
Say again?
If you took it and says L-L-O to L-P.
Keep that one away, man.
L-P. No. That's one.
Take
the Q slash out.
Okay, good. That's good. Now, something
have to replace one better than another.
You can quite expect.
But it's something going to replace it one on the first occurrence?
Yeah. So I'm going to do it on the first occurrence. And you see right here, I thought, you know, maybe it's like said, and then you give it a slash G, and it'll do a global search and replace. It doesn't. It just puts a slash G.
So that's a literal replacement.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not actually a regular expression, but it harkens back to that. All right. So that's, all right. So I create all these files, 1 through 20 EP. Paul, how about I say that? And where's my cat? All right, for I in something PP, do move I to, and so I'm going to do that. I do a for rename, and then now I do an LS. You see all the file names have dropped the PP, right? So similar to what you had done, but different. And in fact, they use the renames program more often than which is faster. Okay, any other questions? Someone had a question or two? No? What we got here? Rename thousands, okay. 4,000s. You saw me up here create all these bugs files. We're doing some testing at work where we want to have thousands of folders and subfolders in those thousands of folders and bogus files in those thousands upon thousands of files. We're doing, you know, we're doing performance testing of our product. So what I've got here is what?
Oh, no.
Okay. I changed the 5 from 1,000 because this would run on my favorite. And it did. I do a 4, I, and sequence 5, do make dir of I. So it'll create 5 direct, and then in fact here it'll be running. Let me make a dir called test, and CD into that from. Now I'm going to do a, what's it called, 4,000. I'm going to run this program. Do an LS. You see I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If I do an LS, you have 1. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 inside that 1. If I do an LS of 1 slash 1, I've got a file called 1.1. If I cat that, it's a directory. So I want to have a slash. And inside this file is the text 1 slash 1. Okay, so now going back to the program itself, try in sequence 5, run this loop 5 times, do a make dir of I, it creates the first string. Actually, let me do this so you can get a better idea of what's going on here. Alright, so you see, we've got 1, 1 slash 2, file called 1.2, and inside that file is the text 1 slash 2. Right. So it's just a bunch of bogus data. Alright. So, alright. We'll do a make here of the root directory here, 1 through 5. Run this through that. Then I do another 5 loops and do another 5 loops inside of those 5 loops to do a make here of I slash J, which would be the 1 through 5 slash 1 through 5. Alright, so it's making these directories right here. Alright, 5 slash 4, 5 slash 1, 5 slash 5, 1 slash 5. Everybody follow me? Alright, so we'll make sure of those directories. Any questions? None? Speak up. Then I do another loop. I go through this loop 5 times, do an inner loop of 5 times, and do entry equals I slash J, so I'm just creating a variable called entry that has the first number slash second number, in other words this right here, and then echo that to and redirect that to this directory. So echo $entry will echo 5 slash 5, for example, into 5 slash 5 slash and dollar sign, 5/5, take out the slash and replace it with a dot. Okay? Any questions? Yes. Because the forward slash is the search and replace in the dollar sign brace. So you have to escape forward slash.
Here's a really weird question.
Escape with the backslash. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Here's a really weird question. Okay. Doing some search and replace to the delimiter, does it have to be a forward slash or can it be any other delimiter like comma?
No,
I think you can change the...
Right, instead you can't, but the dollar sign brace in Bash has, each character has different meanings.
Right. But I mean, it has to be a forward slash.
It has to be a forward slash. If you use the comma, I don't know that has any meaning, but you do it equals, it sets it to the default value of that variable. There are other things like that, colon equals, like, you have to look at the man page. But there's a lot of things that I didn't feel like a newbie would want to do.
Which man page?
The man for Bash. Man Bash. Man is your friend. Info is your second friend. Help is a good friend.
What? I follow it in man is a friend with dog is a best.
I don't use the dog. Dog's better than cat, though.
I use less,
and less. I hear most
like
good.
Said, Google trumps all.
What?
And like he said, Google trumps all.
Correct. All right, so everybody, what?
Just kind of exactly like,
that's right.
Dog.
Yeah.
What?
I think we're advancing from dog to life.
Thank you, man.
Okay. Okay, so everybody understand what's going on right here? Because this is kind of complicated, right? It took me a long time to figure out how to do this, so, you know, I'm proud of myself. Now, you could change this around. See, I'm doing this three different times. That's because I did it at the command line three different times. If I were writing this as a script, I wouldn't have done it this way. I would have had this one loop of sequence 5. Then I would have had this J interloop. I would have put the maker before that. And then set the entry here so I didn't have to make the dir. I would have done the make dir and then the echo and then the done, right? Because that would have been hard. That's just two dones, right? All right, any questions on 4? Any questions on 4? There is another, 4 will also, as I understand it, if you don't put the N in, it assumes $1, $2, $3. I've never used it, so I'm not going to teach all that.
If you leave all that blank, they'll accept by default the arguments.
As I understand, I myself have never used it, so good luck.
So if you said 4, I do, they accept whatever arguments.
As I understand it, it does the dollar sign act. Yes. As I understand it. That's because I read the man page, and that's what it said. But I haven't tried it. So, another format for 4 in Bash is the what you're probably used to in C-like languages, 4 paren something semicolon something semicolon something. That's your initiator, your incrementer, or your test, or your increment. But I never used that. I like this format. And there we go. Any questions on 4? No, of course not, Jason. We all understand. All right, y'all have...
Well, I got a question.
Yes.
Sometimes I see you, on previous commands, use the same dollar sign to use previous parameter to save on keystrokes.
Yes.
Sometimes you use it, and the command you used previously is very complicated. You had sense going down here.
Yep.
And you just blew my mind how he knew what he was going to pick.
Yeah, I know.
And now I thought, what's this one about? Can you explain it?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Arash. I have to do that to you.
That was that substitute throw game.
Yeah. I should have asked you this when it made sense.
All right, so the bang dollar sign?
Yeah.
Bash also uses job control, and the Bang.
It's history.
The Bang is all history stuff. So anything that starts with Bang is history. If you do a Bang Bang, that is the last command, the previous command. So this just did a Bang Bang substitute echo 4000, which was this, right? Bang Bang is the last command. You can tell it Bang and a number. That's the number in the history that you did. So if I do a history, and you see all those commands. All right, I want to do a Bang 602. That was LS. So I did an LS. If I know what it is and I don't remember what number it was, obviously I'm not going to confront history again. Let's say I want to just do the last make dirt. All right, so I do a Bang make dirt blah 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 something. You know, up into its uniqueness, it will substitute.
If you're typing and you don't want to do the Bang stuff, you can actually do it with the escape key. So you can say escape 4, escape dot, and it will pull up the fourth command line argument from the line right before you. So I didn't know that. You're using
all right, so to answer your question, the dollar sign, Bang dollar sign is the last argument of the previous command.
Right. But my question kind of was,
so this case is going to replace a test one.
Okay, I think I overcomplicated. I think the command I saw you use, you had semicolons. It was really using an argument on the last semicolon command.
All right, so if I do, it's going to do just this last word over here.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I've noticed this in the past couple of years, Bash is a lot more smart about it. If I do a dollar sign paren and then something says something, something, it'll actually do that entire thing. So that's nice.
Now, the Bang MK, was that searching from the bottom down or from the top?
From the bottom. From your most recent?
Or from the left?
From your most recent. So it's
can you,
from the bottom up.
Can you hit a key and then pop? So instead of you just blindly getting in there and you hold that X key, can you have it autofill that command?
No.
Because, you know, if I did 14 copies and I go, well, I don't want to retype, you know, I up arrow and find that copy, but I can't. So you can't cycle through just your copies.
You can control R.
You can use control R and that'll go to your most recent whatever match throughout the entire string.
Okay, do it. Echo
control R.
Echo. Sorry?
Yeah, do control R.
Oh, see, no.
And you do control R.
Okay.
And you can up and down arrow through all your echoes. All
right, so now I don't know how to do it exactly.
Control R.
If I look for clever, C, L, there it is. So here's what I just typed in.
This is the first. It just did a complete search.
Yeah. Anywhere in the backwards.
Yeah. Oh, it didn't have to begin with or reverse.
Yeah, but that's the control R. Now the Bang does start with. Okay. Anything else?
I guess this one.
All right. Let me hand this over to our MC for the night. Thank you all.
First of all, there's lots of faces that are recognized, so we might as well go around the room. We'll start with David Yates.
David Yates.
This is Lynn.
He got a feel for it.
He makes feels.
He's feel pushing.
He said it'd be easy to work.
Jeremy Simmons, senior CS student at USCF State, top catcher. Thanks.
Mike Andrews, National Research.
All the way from Columbia.
Jay Walters from Columbia Linux User Group.
Ooh.
I'm Robert Corral. I drove over the gap and I found you guys on the internet. I'm new to Linux. I go back and Windows always fall off, so I'm going to get you into Windows. And I'm kind of getting into Linux. I really enjoy it.
Well, thanks for coming. I appreciate that. That's a little bit of a draw from Jeff.
Yeah. and I couldn't find the place. Your website, did you have? So I called my wife.
He's talking upload, not self, and I fixed that.
And I was trying to, you know, because I'm very home and worried.
I don't have access to that. I mean, if the site itself is down, I don't have access to it.
No, we talked about you taking part of that one, formally trying to get read credits for that site.
Well,
what? I make this offer. I'm Eric Wood. I'm just a 19th person. last Sunday night, we're down with our fiber backbone.
It is down, by the way.
No, it's not.
It is.
I blog on the lower back. You're all over there.
It's over there. Right after the bar. We'll have no job.
No, you scared me because I was on the phone for 4 hours with Time Warner today. We're getting DSL speed on the fiber. It's terrible. And they've got a problem. Anyway, I can co-locate the box there if we want.
It's not on its own box right now.
Well, I thought it could be moved to its own box.
We can make a little
server. The last
I got a server, a VMware server. We can just run an appliance like MeetingWiki or whatever.
Well, the problem is that takes time to build up. That's my concern. And we've had several suggestions to move to other things. And at the end, we haven't seen a whole lot of movement with content being put up there. So for the existing site, it's there. Somebody's got to manage it for at least the time being. So I don't know if you want to do that. I know you've talked about that in the past, but if you're stepping back from that.
Yeah, I know it's looking great. Every time I made the offer, I suggested stuff that I'm familiar with, and everybody, started, walking around with their war paint and said, no commercial software. Oh. And I said, okay.
I thought you were familiar with Library.
I am familiar with Library, but when I talked about it originally, I said, why use Library? Let's put it on. I got a free license from the folks down below, down under, that says Atlassian, software development company and brewery. Check it out. It's like Atlassian. So they make beer while they work. Okay.
Well, we'll call that Plan B.
Anyway.
I just feel like I got day after. I love looking at color every time. Jesus.
Where can we have our wedding party and all the presidents of the company are, I'm just a little like you guys sitting there, and the president, he speaks some kind of infinite wisdom thing. And then everybody's like, get bored, and I go, okay, we'll call that Plan B. And everybody just bow out until I just ditch the president.
When you fix the fiber, carrier one.
But I was kind of proponent of MeetingWiki at VR site because it has tons of plugins. It has that little wiki language, that markup language syntax that I think more and more of us are going to have to learn. And if anybody edits wiki pages, you can even do for loops in a wiki web page and edit SQL statements and things like that. So I don't want static content and easy to get off the ground immediately. But it can grow.
I don't want to generate into a what web package are we going to use. So if you want to do that, toss up a site, show it off, fill it with content, and you can do it by the way to
it. As long as a lot of people can get in there to update it.
And we're going to continue on. You're Bob Larson. Go ahead and try it.
I'm Bob Larson. as was the status.
The guy didn't also put the website.
Let the record.
And you are?
Yes, good evening. My name is Jeff Lance. I'm retired from IBM and got some background in disaster recovery celebration. Continuity, managed services, things like that. And I just saw the user's group meeting, and I thought I'd just come out and see what's going on.
Well, welcome. We're glad to have you.
Yes, especially since you're tied to IBM.
We'll talk to you.
Jared Sutton. I recently graduated from Bob Jones with Pearson Street, and I'm network engineering at Worthwhile Company.
I'm Dale Quatt.
Yes, cool. Sure.
This is my first real dive into Bash, but I've been using Linux as my desktop for about 4 years. I've been young for 40 minutes.
So is Linux.
You can't do the Linux with it.
Where are you from? You know, somebody shipped me 100 Ubuntu CDs as a prank. I get this package from Switzerland, cut it open, and there's 100 Ubuntu. I actually have people in Charleston and Utah asking for it. But
are you giving them to them?
Yes. Perfect. I mean, I'm not going to waste them, but
ship one in the tub.
Go ahead.
My name is Craig Peterson. I work for a small company called Planbase for big planning software.
Does it run on Linux?
It all runs on Linux, but it will run on Windows too. So.
Well, we're going to hold that again.
What's your name? Raritan. We make KVM over IP. It is a Linux based product, too, which is really good for you. Other than that, I've been here for a while.
I'm Brian, I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, an IT company. I do mainly supporting Windows and Macs, but trying to get more clients to use Linux. I've been playing with it for a while now.
But you get does the OpenSUSE 11 support?
Okay. And you are?
My name is Stuart Brazili. This is the first one these have been to. I'm on the security team at AIMCO.
Okay.
They don't take their target stores, do you?
John.
Obviously, I'm John. I work for IGTA Healthcare. I'm a senior contract architect over there. I design business systems. I've been Linux administrator of some variation for probably 20 years.
Well, you're the big Java guy. You forgot systems. I don't know. Big Java guy.
I'm the head of the Java users.
And
you also split atoms, I think.
I do. I split atoms.
On your side.
But in a combination of things that I've done over the history of time, yeah, I split atoms. I glow.
We thought you were friends.
I'm Kevin Jones. It's a Linux new, basically, new device and desktop. Slowly integrated into where I work, but slowly. But yeah, I use the desktop for the most part. Majority of time, about a year and a half. Pretty much a new Linux user.
Well, I'm David Malik. I am involved in a huge number of things, unfortunately. And I'm going to talk about three of them tonight. First is to give you an update on FLPC, which is the Free Linux PC project, which is kind of an offspring from Upload. For those of you who don't know, we essentially take hardware people are throwing away, and we're trying to keep it at Pentium 3 and above. And we refurb that, install Linux, hand it out to people who don't have computers. We're also looking at taking care of some of the nonprofits and helping them with support. What is August the 23rd?
Actually, I'm not sure.
Friday? I wrote August the 23rd for a reason.
It's a Saturday.
You forgot what it's
for. I've completely forgotten what date 23 is for.
Would it be a volunteer day?
It could indeed be a volunteer day.
That's a skip. It's Barnabas.
Oh, Barnabas.
Yeah.
Barnabas County has asked us to come down and help them. And so at least Kevin and I are going to Barnwell County. They are setting up computing centers in five community centers in the county.
I can read you the whole thing here if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, this is the Community and Economic Development Program. They're part of the Clemson University Cooperative Extension. They're looking for to look at FLPC to help them build so the community center in Barnwell County and surrounding areas. Harry Christie is the director of the community center project covering four counties, and they plan to start their pilot program in Barnwell on or around. I had the date June 1st on the way up back, so now it's, I think it's going to be September. We're planning it out there on the 23rd to set up the initial. Plans so far, I believe, is to have approximately 30 computers, I think, in the lab. But he's got access to about, over 100 computers right now. So we're going to install a Cobbler in a building, and basically let them have that installed. The door on
All right, let me look at our exchange.
I don't know, but he was trying so hard to hold that in.
We're just going to have to separate
those. Anyway, so we're going down to Barnwell County on August 23rd. We would love to have people attend. If you want to learn, share your knowledge, you'll be rewarded regardless of whatever way that you want to come. So, my understanding is that Clemson has arranged for them to get a total of 300 machines. So this is essentially what we're going down to do is initially show them how to set up an automated install environment, configure their installs the way that they want, and just let them be able to go forth and do their active. 30 machines is just the same as the community center. They're going to have to do that at least four more times. And then they're probably going to be doing that every semester, I would guess, just to machines are going to wear out.
It's actually more than schools. It's not tied up to Clemson, so it's a Barnwell area school system, community center.
I thought Clemson had given them the computer.
Clemson's, he's part of Clemson. They're kind of doing some intermediary work. They're housing, they're storing the equipment that came from Washington, D.C. up to Kansas, D.C. somewhere. It's the federal type of thing. But, so he's got to drive to Clemson to pick up all the stuff 40 pieces at a time. So he's got trucks or whatever, he goes at a time. And he's got, as he rolls it out, it's just a pile for now. And then, they don't have enough stuff like it.
Who's working with them? Lorraine.
Where Fairfax is.
Do you know where Savannah is? Savannah River?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Just
down the
barrel.
Yeah.
So, if you want to go, you can see Kevin after the meeting. You can mail us on the list. You can mail Kevin directly. You can mail me directly. Or you can just show up at Barnwell and take your files.
Just go into the room and stop.
Yeah. When it turns to dirt road, you're probably there. FLBC has an office of sorts, a suite in Easley. And Norton and three or four other people now are going there weekly and installing Linux on machines, cleaning up messages that I make. And they seem to be making good progress. And one of the things, the internal debates that we're having now is the time right for us to offer support services to community nonprofits? And largely, that means that we would have to grow out of our 7 or 8 people that are doing it now, people who can check ticketing systems, see what's out there, hopefully remotely fix everything. I think our goal is that any place that we would agree to support, we would put a VPN box in so that we can connect to it remotely so we don't do any work. We don't have to drive anywhere to do work. But
when does he come in?
He works Wednesday morning. I think he gets there 10 or 11 o'clock, works for 4 or 5 hours. We're doing Saturday meetings, or Saturday morning work days, and we kind of fell out the practice of doing that. Which brings us to Software Freedom Day. By the way, if you want to get involved with FLPC, they have a Google group. If you Google Unplug FLPC, you'll find a Google group. And there's lots of opportunities to get involved there.
FreeLinuxBC.org.
There are tremendous opportunities to get involved there.
Also, the Liberty Senior Center.
That's right. That was the thing I was supposed to mention. Yet another organization has come to us and asked us to put together a computer lab for their community center. And this is the third group that has asked us. We've made announcements twice before and not really had a whole lot of response. Those groups, and I know that they're all of these groups are probably out of the way of most of the people who are here, except David and I. But this is in Pickens City. They have a little community center that the city essentially gave them for $1, and they want to put a computer lab in there. And so we need somebody who can help go up there, carry all the machines in, set up a really simple network, something that they can easily administer, do a little training, and of course be around when they call to find out why the machine won't turn on and things like that. So if you're interested in that, also hit us up with that because we would like to get you involved in that. Anything else I can do?
The Pickens Senior Center is requesting a small lab. I don't have any details on that. Until we get some volunteer involvement as far as possibly maintaining them. I don't know. I don't know how much it's involved. You know, worth it. Maybe it's like 3 computers. I mean, it's probably not anything.
Probably not a big deal, but they've got nobody else to call, so they will be calling us if something happens to one of their machines.
Yeah, and you had a company with Prevent Child Abuse in Pickens County.
Prevent Child Abuse. Jeremy is supposed to be doing some videos, and supposedly all the potty videos have been transcoded, but have not been uploaded.
Watching Howard and Potty Videos?
But it transcodes out, it all just says the Weather Channel. you saw my nice tower I brought in. Been bastardized by a huge VCR sitting on top of it, so I can record all these things into this TV. I can say, hey, I want to record the Weather Channel for the next 5 hours. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so. Yes, long story short,
it's converted into digital files. VCR, into MIT-TV, tell it to go record the Weather Channel because that's Channel 3 and the VCR.
The Prevent Child Abuse Pickens County was carrying around a TV VCR combo. And so I said, why are we doing that? Well, they don't make these videos anymore. We can't get DVDs on them. I said, okay, why are you doing that? And so anyway, I volunteered Jeremy. And Jeremy has halfway come through.
In progress.
Yeah, it's in progress. But they've got a number of other things. They want a, they would like a lab. The Pickens County Board of Disabilities and Special Needs would like two labs. And so we've gotten lots of opportunities if we can get people to jump in and do work. Anyway.
Just a question. For the Liberty and Pickens Senior Center, I mean, what time are you doing?
No, they are not yet.
You tell me, because all I don't want is I don't want to be the only person who's on call and to call me while I'm in San Diego, or they call me while I'm busy and expect a response and they give a bad pace for us. Kind of one person is a single point of failure.
Think about like a Grand Central Station number.
Yeah. Or Vaughn hooking us up with another asterisk phone number that could automatically create tickets on voicemail or something like that. But, you know, to a degree, prevent child abuse Pickens County has gotten a bad taste in their mouth from me, and I've tried to explain to them. I'm just overwhelmed right now, working 16, 17 hour weeks. And they said, but you said we can call you. And I said, yeah, you can call me. It doesn't mean I'll be out. And so they're right now they're waiting. They've gone on a week for the last call. And that does not strike me as being a good community relations type of thing.
What do they need to have done?
They have PC crash. They just need somebody to probably tell them that hard drive or that power supply or they don't think. The most complex thing I've done for them thus far, aside from hand videos, about probably turning on the bearing, which has been the subject of many, many jokes. It's a real complex thing, you have to replace the keyboard. I mean, we're talking about really simple stuff. They didn't know how to replace the keyboard. I went in to replace the keyboard, they think I am an IT god because of that. Yes.
Any organizations a hot spare machine or two, so that they or even a cold spare machine or two, if they could just unplug one thing.
We've talked about that. Their machines right now are all Win32, okay. And so I'm not going to hand them a Win32 machine.
No, I don't blame you.
I'd be happy to do that. I just haven't had the time to invest to do the.
Yeah.
Here is Linux. It's a little different.
Yeah.
Get used to it, type thing.
Well, I mean, just to be clear, I mean, we've given out over 50 computers to people who are complete computer novices, three, maybe two. I've got one phone call. I think John Roberts got a phone call one time.
Yeah, I've got an email once. So we're not, but we are spending about 2 or 3 hours training those people, getting them familiarized with the interface. That little up in the lower left-hand corner, when you click on it, it brings up a menu. You're not looking for Microsoft Word, you're looking for Writer. And we're getting them over that little hump, and we haven't had any callbacks after that. So.
We're kind of measuring for this freeitathens.org. It's kind of the model we're using for. They've got a whole nonprofit group of people that provide IT support for nonprofits and people in the area.
What's the guy from Google? He got out of the military and lived in school.
All right, so FLPC, there's lots of stuff if you want to get involved, and you will learn a lot and help a lot, regardless of what your skill level is. The fact that you can find this building probably means you have more computer skills. The vast majority of
time. I must have said this earlier, but the website was down. You could always check the GSATC site. That's where I got the address from.
That's true.
That's true. Well, because it's always up.
Hey, are you going to take this?
It's an eye on fiber.
There's a server name, a mail server. It started filtering email all the time, and people get mad.
Did mail or female?
That is terrible. That's terrible. But this is good. Listen. Anyway, the email server name was called Viagra. Because it always stood up. So, like Viagra, that's all I've got. Alright, so, moving on. Now that we've had our requisite Viagra joke. And by the way, I have 20 minutes ahead of schedule. Skullport Freedom Day is technically September 20th.
That should be the intro.
And if we have interest to do it the 20th, I guess we'll do it the 20th. We're looking for an owner because I mistakenly agreed to speak at another Software Freedom Day in Atlanta without realizing that it was Software Freedom Day. They said, we're having this in Skullfest on the 20th. You mind coming and speaking? I said, sure, I'll be happy to. And one of the guys says, don't you have something going on the 20th? No, not a thing. Oh, yeah. 9/20 is Software Freedom Day.
So when you go on the website for Software Freedom Day, you look at the map and you see South Carolina. You say, hey, there's a Software Freedom Day in South Carolina. Who's sponsoring it? David and Allie.
That's right. They will be there.
They will be there.
So the thoughts are to either do it 9/13 or someone pick this up and run with it on the 20th. They're supposedly going to send us a bunch of discs. They're going to send us the open CD. They're going to send us T-shirts and things of that nature.
Who's they?
Software Freedom Day, the organization.
Software Freedom Foundation.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not the Free Software Foundation. It's
Software Freedom Day. That word.
Yeah. They literally founded their own organization to run the day. Seems like we did this last year as an install fest and combination FLPC event, and we have 20 or 30 people that weren't Blood members show up. So. We've also had pretty good luck running install fest because we ran install fest a few months before that and had about 45 or 50 show up. So those days are open if somebody wants to jump in and take them. That all start at once. And now for the main topic, which is
erasing without damaging.
Oh, well, yeah. About almost a year ago now, David Yates came back from a little shindig up in Ohio called OLF. And that's Ohio Linux Fest. And he came back, and his question was, why aren't we doing this here? And we talked about it a little bit, didn't really move. And we started having more and more discussions about it. And so essentially what we're doing is we're going to put on the Southeast Linux Fest. And this is tentatively June 13th. We have, thus far, some very tentative, exciting speakers. Some of them I'm going to write down so that they don't go out over the podcast. But the first is Chris DeBona. He's publicly named, so I can disclose that. He's agreed to let us use his name.
To sucker people in and then have somebody else speak for him?
Oh, what's it really mean? Does everybody know who this is?
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
He's been to Greenville before, and he knows us, so hopefully he's coming.
Maybe you could write down what he's known for.
That
person's already been contacted, but we're waiting for the final okay from them. Probably will happen.
He wrote...
Don't say his name, or I have to spend time cutting it out.
Yeah. He wrote this. He wrote this. Oh. By the way, this is spelled T-H-I-S. Let's see. We are also...
Yeah.
What's Jerry's last name?
Oh, dear.
Springer.
Springer.
We're also here. We have
who is the core, who is a member of the core team?
No way.
And he is potentially coming.
Is that my heart surgery?
We said Jerry Springer. Listen, if we can get the former mayor of Cleveland to come here, what else do we need?
He was Cincinnati.
Was he Cincinnati? Okay, Southern California, Ohio. And trying to remember. That's the guy.
And the other one is.
Yes. This is who we have right now. Tentatively. If you don't know Chris, Chris founded.
That's just a VR.
Chris is one of the founders of Slashdot. He was on Floss Weekly. He hosted Floss Weekly, the podcast. He was on Tech TV. And he works for Google now. And so he's a big name.
Professor Compliance Officer.
Yeah, I think that's his title. By the way, we have tentatively, because I say so, adopted this tagline, Linux in the GNU South.
Oh.
Chris Gordon. We promise it wasn't so long. Yes, maybe not on the GNU Splash Land. All right, so anyway, I'm telling you this to get you hyped up because we need a lot of help. We are now a nonprofit corporation called the Southeast Linux Fest. We got that paperwork yesterday. We have lots of paperwork to now file with the federal and state government. We have to elect a board of directors, we have to get bank accounts. And then we have to start getting sponsors because I think our lowball estimate is around $20,000 right now.
Our minimal lowball for about 20K a square foot at Stormbreak Expo Center comes out after you include all the extras to roughly 10K. And that's including things that you need to happen no matter where the venue is.
All right. So we're looking at a minimum spend of $10,000 that we will need up front.
Yeah, you'll have to upfront a third of pure venue cost, and for 20K square feet, that just for the venue itself is going to be just under $8,000. So you have to front a third of that to hold the thing.
All right, so we're talking about we need $3,000 just to get the reservation.
Now that's one venue that we chose.
That's one venue.
One of the ones we're considering.
We're talking actively to others who may do it for free, or may do it substantially cheaper, or may do it more expensive. But right now, we have gotten prices from one place.
Yeah. Each has its pros and cons. Yeah, some of those will be more at the Conference Center in Clemson.
Madrid Conference Center.
And the University Center in Greenville. That's actually, most of that is held by the Greenville Tech Foundation.
Yeah.
In fact, the University Center in Greenville actually still already has the lease space from them, so that may be a thing. The Spartanburg Expo Center, which is right at the intersection of I-26 and I-85, that would cost more, but it has a monstrous amount of square footage and some nice amenities. So each has pros and cons.
It's a church.
Yes.
Or we'll have to participate in Zurich.
So it's a one-day event.
Hey, we've got evangelists here. John, aren't you an evangelist?
Java evangelist.
Oh, Java evangelist. Right.
Go ahead.
I used to be a member of that church. My wife was the coach. And it is totally separate. Though it is all by the church.
Yeah, it is a separate
entrance. And it has a separate entrance. So there is a Sunday event. You're not going to listen to the preaching.
Yeah, we're it's going to be a one day anyway, and that'll be a Saturday. So
what's being passed around, by the way, is the virtual Highland Fest 2007 last year, and that's just back around you, really. That's sort of what this is hopefully going to be modeled after. And the reason we aren't mentioning these people or mentioning the date or having things set in stone yet is that's going to be a plan. I think our date to set a venue is September 2nd. We want to have a venue date picked by the year.
Simply because we need to have something reserved that far in advance. Some of these venues get paid us pretty quickly. We need to start advertising and people that need. Is it okay to mention?
I would go to the wiki, southeastlinksfest.com. It's got our tour of the expo center there.
Yeah.
It's got our most up-to-date press estimate, IRC logs of our weekly IRC meeting, which is
tonight.
So we're probably going to go to Indigo Shows with his laptop and just enjoy that as well.
And I am a messy writer, and I apologize. But
yes, you are. I can read messy writing.
We are here. There's somebody there just about 24/7.
IRC Freedom.
Yeah, IRC.freedom.net. If you don't know about IRC, come see one of us after the meeting. We'll get you hooked up.
Mailing list to
a certain Linux-centric magazine has agreed to start advertising for us. So we've got to develop some graphics and get them web banners and stuff that they use in their print magazine as well. And so all this is blowing up really, really quickly, and we need some help. The things that we need more lugs to sign on. So if you have contacts at other lugs, two big ones that we are still waiting on are char lugs. So Wes, you used to be in with all those people. Can you give them a push maybe?
Trilog
signed on?
Yeah, here's the most up-to-date list is the Ubuntu Florida Linux community, the lug at Georgia Tech, the Middle Georgia lug, the lug at NC State, Greensboro lug, Trilog, Uplug, Cola lug, CSC lug, which is Charleston.
Which is that eight?
Yeah. Yeah, Russell Ruffle is Charlog.
They were at
John Harris.
So having a large lug capacity does saying that all of these lugs are standing behind us does something for us when we go to a vendor. When we go to a place like Silicon Mechanics, if we went forward and said, "Hey, we're with Unlug, we're holding this event, will you please sponsor us?" We probably have them give us a very small amount of money. If we're going with 10 lugs, and some of those lugs are big famous lugs like Trilog and Atlanta Linux Enthusiasts, I think we stand a little better chance of getting some big dollars out. So
we should grow by one tonight because the Nashville lug is meeting and they're supposed to be gone tonight.
Nashville is another big lug, and they've got a lot of contacts as well. So we need more lugs. And one of the things we're doing is September 20th, David Yates and I are going down to Atlanta to try and twist their arms. It's getting behind us. They're having an install fest for Software Freedom Day. And they asked me to speak, and I said, "Oh, sure, I'll come down and twist your arms while I tell you about whatever you want to hear about." So David Yates and I are tentatively going down there, and we're going to try and get them to sign on. And at the very least, Hype It, hopefully we'll know a little more about our speakers. We've actually announced a call for papers. And so if you know something cool, want to share it, feel free to submit a paper.
Yeah. No, there's no guarantee you'll get a speaker spot at the rate the vote is all floating names on us.
Yes. But we can expand that to multiple tracks too. So, you know, there are ways for us to handle that. At the same time, we need sponsors. And we don't want to go after the sponsors yet. We would really like to get some of these names firmed up if we can, because these guys are essentially talking about coming and doing it for free. And
even if it's not for free, most of those people are either close enough or related to a, like, in-the-bag probably sponsor of some sort.
Right. We want to hit some of these guys up for sponsors. John, I know you're in tie with all the publishing companies, so we're probably going to hit you up to contact them. But if you know a...
They just sent me an email and asked me. I've been reviewing a bunch of materials to run kids well. A couple of publishers have sent me stuff to look at for a proposed book. It's a rough draft.
I hope you're getting paid for it.
You know, I'm in the world of just being a nice guy.
most people get a list of bylines. I reviewed XYZ on the technical reviewer, John Geary. But anyway, you know, if you want to say, instead of paying me, I would like for you to donate X number of dollars, X number of books, and send X author to Paul.
You know, that might be able to get some of the cost of the author to come out. I mean, I had some conversations with a few of the folks at Java 1. They were interested in, I mean, it's like anything else. One of the hardest things, like, for the Java users group is just getting the attendance. And I know there's a lot of people who are using it, but getting folks to show up after hours after coding all day.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, kids, soccer, or go to a Java user group or a bug meeting, et cetera. So, but I've definitely talked to the author, so we'll talk off tape.
Sure. we will make you commit those people on off tape. We're hoping to do a similar model to what OLF does, which is, if you want to come, you can come for free. We would appreciate if you would grab a $65 registration fee, which is optional. But for that $65 registration fee, we'll give you a t-shirt.
A brand new car!
and invite you to an after-event party, which is what OLF does.
I like the low radio excuse discount.
and we may do something like that. But essentially, we want it to be open to the community. We're not actively targeting the business community. We're targeting the user community.
We're actively not targeting the business community.
I want to say that.
Pay for it.
we will invite anybody with money.
All right, let me clarify. The goal is not to become commercialized.
That's right. We don't want to be a Linux world. We don't want to be a CBIT or any of the other shows that have essentially become go get your swag and get pelted by sales pubes for 3 months thereafter in hopes that they can sell you something. We want this to be very much a community-focused learning experience, a chance to interact with people that you may talk to on IRC but have never met, people that you read about on the mailing list, and, you know, you don't know them from Adam's house cat, and have a good time and promote Linux and hopefully have some very entertaining speakers. That being said, we're having a meeting tonight, 9 o'clock. We'll have a wireless network set up at wherever we happen to eat. And we welcome you to join us Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, for our meetings. There's a mailing list set up, southeastlinuxfest.com.org, too.
I think that will redirect you to the back.
Yeah. So you can go there. There's a wiki there. We're going to end up needing somebody to start gardening the wiki. We're going to need somebody to develop websites. We're going to need a lot of work. So please get involved. Yes?
If I'm interested to possibly go into this show, is there like a sign-up page or anything like that?
What? There is. By the way, Jace is my $5 question plant. He's really just working for a free dinner.
Hey!
One of the things that we're trying to do to help get some of the big sponsors in is say, we've already got X number of people signed up who have committed to come. And so on the wiki,
are on the website. There is a there's a link to sign up so that we can add your name to the number. And don't worry, we are developing a bot that will do this automatically for you, whether you want to or not. But in the interim, we want some legitimate numbers to show some of these sponsors that a year in advance, we can still show some significant numbers. To give you an idea of what we're looking for, Ohio Linux Fest had 350 people show up their first year. We really want 500. Jeremy really wants 1,000 or more. I would be ecstatic with 500 for a first year.
We need those names if that's possible.
Yeah. If we get this person, and this person, and we don't have 500 people, I'll be disappointed.
We've got, like he says, 8 loads of fish are signed on. We don't have a date yet. We'll have a date when these come in. So when we get a date, we'll have a venue picked for 30 September. When we get a date, we're going to send out, we're going to spam like every mailing list and club stage. Right now, if you go in to the Southeast Linux Fest chat room, there's probably people there from 8 or 10 states already. There are bugs in Kentucky, go back to us, and we'll let it fly.
In Pennsylvania,
we've got
Richmond.
Yeah. People know about this already, but once we have a date pitch, everybody's going to know.
The first public advertisement we had for this event was from a guy in Canada. Chris DeBona lamented the loss of ALS in Atlanta. The Atlanta Linux Showcase. I apologize. Talking about things people don't know about. He lamented the loss of Atlanta Linux Showcase, and this guy in Canada says, hey, you're obviously not listening to the right podcast. David Yates is talking about organizing a Southeast Linux Fest just up the road from Atlanta. His podcast is LinuxLinks.com, and it sounds like they're going to get something together. Subsequent to that, Jeremy and David both spam Chris DeBona's blog with comments to something similar. And all of a sudden, Chris is saying, oh, well, I'd be interested in coming to that. So a lot of people know about this event, and the word's starting to get out, and we need help because it's going to blow up, and we'll have more work than we can possibly accomplish.
But it's not impossible. The Halloween space has been done for 6 years now, and I think it's in essence, it's 10 people from 5 loads in Ohio. That's the core team. And on the day of the event, they need more.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of work for a year and a whole lot of work on the weekend that it happens. But it's not an undoable thing. Ontario Linux Fest, the contractor will have it, and they do it with a smaller group than they do at Ohio Linux. It's like there's 5 loads in Ohio. Their first festival, I guess, was just a gathering of those loads. And it was there they decided we can do this. And now, I think by their third year, they had 1,500 people show up, and it was costing them $10,000. And it's doable for the sponsor.
I mean, are we not overshooting by looking at doing what they did? Took them 3 years to do that.
We're hoping to learn from their mistakes a little bit.
Ontario Linux Fest did it 2 years more. They had a small number, they had 500 people show up on that first year. That's success.
Ohio did a number of things differently than we did. First, they targeted only Lux the first year. They didn't advertise. They just said, we're going to get together and have a social event. No talks or anything of that nature. And that was your point. And they had 350 people show up to 5 Lux, which is a good turnout from if we targeted Cobalt Lux, Charleston's Lux, us, Clemson, and Western North Carolina, we didn't get 350 people, and we had every mailing list member.
Those are all log members, probably, though. I mean, they probably had their friends.
It's possible, but regardless, we didn't turn that with just the logs. And so that's one of the reasons we're not doing a light only event, and that we've expanded our schedule a little bit. The other thing is, we're not looking within the log solely for speakers. There are some people within the lugs that we want. For instance, I think Cola Lug has a TechSorg developer, and I'm sure we will be hitting up the Cola Lug to get him on board.
the key thing is to get involved. I mean, it's a year, but a year goes by quickly when really you only get one or two major things accomplished a week, if that.
If that. If that. So, tonight, if you can join us, please do. But, you know, if you're, if you can idle IRC at work, hang out in Southeast Linux Fest on Freenode. There are interesting things you can see. You can see Jeremy watch Zimbra blow up on him at 7 a.m. in the morning.
All throughout the morning. There was no sleep.
There's lots of interesting things going on in there.
Are we just targeting strictly Linux-based systems?
No. We are targeting open-source software. We call it a Linux Fest, but we've done that because Linux Fest is a widely understood term.
We have a
so just needed it just to end your song. But then we have a new
style. The picture moment does not show up because we don't want to drive people away.
There's a bunch of other items that are out there that, you know, could attract some attention.
You mean like Open Solaris or Java?
Open Solaris, Java, OpenJDK, which is the open source version of the Java Development Kit.
All that sounds like
the first thing that, when they first released it, at Java 1, within an hour, somebody had actually built it on Linux using Ubuntu.
And we have a mission statement on Wiki in open source software that you get many times as work and
As a matter of fact, one of the people I'm going to try and invite is Ben Rockwood, who is a storage guy with Open Solaris, and I think he's on the Open Solaris, I don't remember if they call that the community board or steering committee or what, but I'm going to try and invite him. That's maybe wishful thinking, trying to get him to fly all the way out here without a lot of funds to do so, but we're going to invite him. And Ben, if you're listening to this, please consider yourself invited. Any other questions? How many people want to get involved?
Good.
That's good. That's a start.
We need a role or something, though, right? Somebody to sign up for a particular, you know.
Honestly, right now there is so much work to be done, and we've got so many different directions. We're happy to have more bodies, and you know, if somebody sees something they want and charge after it. Immediately, I'll tell you the immediate needs. We need somebody who can handle a little bit of paperwork because we've got some files we've got to do with the state, we've got to do with the federal government, and then we've got to get a bank account. So that's one of our meetings. We've got to appoint a board of directors. And yet another place. You had your hand raised.
Yeah, just as you were talking, just a thought that occurred. A lot of what you're doing here is geared toward current Linux users, correct?
Yeah. I will say that we're limited to that, but that is certainly probably our core volunteer group.
Yeah, what I've heard so far, and that seems to be the core. And it occurred to me, and maybe we're talking about this, but I'll just throw it on the table, that you may want to consider, if you have the time, a few 101 sessions. Linux, 101, Linux for beginners, what is it? And then at the same time, get the word out to some of these groups that you've been volunteering at, you know, like the Senior Center over at Pickett. You know, what is it? You might understand a little bit about Windows, and you know, how do you translate that over to this thing called Linux? What is it? So, just as a way to intro some people that have no idea what it is.
I certainly think we need to tackle that. Part of the problem is, I don't know that we would have a huge draw outside of our immediate, outside the upstate. And just to openly discuss your suggestion, I think we would do great in the upstate drawing people for that. I don't think we're going to get people from Charlotte or Tennessee, etc. There are people who come to see this guy speak from Tennessee, but if you don't know who that person is, why would you show up? He's just another name. And so I think to a degree, we'll certainly have the 101 sessions. I don't know that that'll be our main focus, simply because we've got to we've got to return something for these people who are paying money to come talk for the sponsors, and that's going to be the people in the in this community. But we certainly want to grow the community at the same time. So we'll certainly have some one-on-one sessions. And we'll probably be targeting some people from the LUG to do one-on-one sessions. Because okay. I mean, one-on-one's easy.
We're halfway, I mean, if successful, then anybody would like to put the Highland Space to get as far as the kind of community is, not necessarily the size. There'll be something there for anybody that shows up that's just curious about it. If it's, you won't come away having not learned something out of it, hopefully.
So you mentioned the mission statement. You want me to like read it? So I got to pull up.
Read it. Go ahead, read it. I'm going to write while you read.
Okay. So Southeast Linux Fest is a community event for anyone who wants to learn more about Linux and free and open source software. It's part educational conference, part social gathering. Like Linux itself, it is shared with attendees of all skill levels to communicate tips, ideas, and benefit all those who use Linux/free open source software. Linux Fest is the place to learn, to make new friends, to communicate with new business partners, and most importantly, to have fun.
Anyone else want to see the OLF brochure from last year? Kenny Gates and I right now are both scheduled to go to Ohio Linux Fest, and we're thinking about getting a booth there. That's October 11th. And we're going to try and have a booth and tell people about it and also recruit speakers because the Budgie's community manager is going to be there, the Bell's community manager is going to be there, Fedora's community manager, or Fedora's project leader will be there, and three of their community managers. So there's going to be some significant people there that we're going to try and recruit to come, and we're going to try and help up and give attendees as well. I'm going to LISA, and I'm going to Utah Open Source Conference, and I'm going to try and do the same thing there. There may be other cons I don't know about, but we would like to get somebody in anything that's even close to the Southeast. If you're going to a con, we'll stuff you with brochures, give you business cards, and let you recruit speakers and attendees.
What's the target date again?
6/13. We're waiting on Linda today, and we will make. By the way, everybody on the podcast will know Lynn is staged imaginary pictures.
I still claim it's Microsoft Sam.
It's Bob.
Microsoft Bob.
Any other questions?
Is there like a special voice that you do?
It's a face to speech. It's festival. Anybody else? This will be a fun event. We got to find the armed guard, the dog, and everything like that so we can have a network set up kind of like DevCon. But
don't know that we want a network set up like DevCon.
It looks interesting.
Hopefully we can find something a little bit friendlier than the DevCon network.
Well, you have to locate your knot in a different hotel, cordoned off in a chain link enclosure with an arm guard and a dog. You know, that's saying something about the network. It's just a little hot dog. And ironically, they kicked out some news people for hacking on an internal network this year. Lots of fun stuff to get involved in. Join the mailing list. Join the IRC channel. Look at the wiki. You're going to start getting spammed by us on a pretty regular basis.
If nothing else, sign up to say that you might attend.
Sign up, yeah, please.
So
sign
up in person.
We get 3 dinners. I already signed up. So.
Jace does.
I do what?
You get free dinner for telling people to sign up.
Wrong.
What is the point?
There's only 1,000 words in that. 23%.
cash value.
That's right.
But I mean, we've got some interesting opportunities. And
what's on the discussion plate for tonight?
The agenda's on the wiki. I don't remember. I made some suggestions and I didn't edit it myself.
And where is the wiki?
The agenda is
southeastlinuxfest.com.
The agenda is UCG nonprofit status, love letter effectiveness, food, and barbecue.
The barbecue.
What about the pounds of lettuce?
So one of the things we're talking about doing is having a pre-party, maybe post-party too, and having barbecue
quite possibly right up there.
Quite possibly.
That's the kind of thing. Google sponsored both of those events in the high links.
I say we have a pre-land party.
Yeah.
Bring the boxes in and find any game that we want to watch.
And, you know.
Easy flag.
Yeah. Someone did not go and get Rebecca, so we can't get her to commit to some of this stuff. But, you know, potentially having an event here. You just looked over there and I don't see her. Is she? Is it like
she's
land?
Staring at you.
Maybe you can come get her here. Could be. You know, hopefully Medion will be one of our sponsors. They already sponsor us by giving us the mass facility, so
I figure worst case, we could definitely have a barbecue out there, because they probably have a barbecue pit as many times as whoever does this barbecue.
Yes, yeah, probably so.
I don't think they want to share it with you.
No, actually, when I came up with this, I thought that when we were trying to think of a name, I thought Southeast Linux Barbecue would have more people show up than Southeast Linux Fest. But everyone else said, no, that's a great name for Mark.
Southeast Linux Barbecue, powered by Gen 2 on Pentium 4s.
Slow cooking.
Slow.
Well, we did say
flames.
Yeah, we figured it was a nice way to say you were selfish.
So
we can say be yourself. You know, there's a little bit of wordplay there. But please come join us in IRC tonight or at Indigo Joe's. We'll be happy to have Jeremy yell out every line of text that comes across to participate.
Okay.
All right, that's all I have. Anyone else?
Oh, the guy from Miro's project, Miro player, getmiro.com, video player. The open source version of iTunes. They have a wiki that they put up, mitvwiki.org, make internet TV. Dot org website, and they're looking for people who are good at video editing to do some how-to documentation specifically for KDE Live. Anybody who's good with video editing, let me know.
Incidentally, Fedora is using Miro to put up a bunch of video documentation. So, I'll sit here and retrieve the stuff for Fedora as well. If you want to do video documentation at Fedora, Video Grid would be happy to have you. Because we've got reams and reams of video and lots of it. And
is that like a counterpart to Camtasia or Camstudio?
They're doing screencasts like Camtasia and Camstudio.
Part of the distribution or on a web page someplace?
Some of it's already up on a web page. You can also watch Miro, and there is a Fedora TV channel. And they're producing probably 6 or 7 hours worth of TV a week right now, or video a week.
But regarding video editing, it will be at
anybody ever heard of Pidgin?
Or anybody?
It's
Pidgin.
P-I-D-I-D-I.
It's supposed to be really easy, because I've been searching for some time for something like, it's a bad analogy, but something like Windows Movie Maker, or something that's really simple to make really simple videos. And apparently a lot of people said PG is supposed to be like that, but good luck to anyone. It's Python based, and it's real dodgy for me to make it work better for you.
P-I-T-I-T.
Yep.
It's editing from
the command line.
Or editing from either?
It's a big Python GUI. It's supposed to be real easy and friendly.
Isn't John Bacon?
No, that's Chikosher, I think, for audio editing.
Okay. Oh,
yes. I think John. Yeah.
Like Bono with the J.
Yes?
You know, with the 21 women members that got me in touch with Linux Journal, and I found out and said, y'all got any Linux Journal flag for us? And they sent us way more than we can use. So
All right.
So everybody, I mean, I got more than enough to give everybody a CD and a bumper sticker and a little picture of a penguin driving a Corvette. You know, But anyway, before y'all get away, just, in fact, I'll just set everything up over there on that new table and just grab one of you way out.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net.